content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to our April 2025 edition of Heard Any Good Books Lately? A program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. This program is brought to you by the Friends of the State Library of North Carolina, Accessible Books and Library Services, an organization of citizens, volunteers, and patrons, all interested in supporting the library and the services it provides. And the Friends group was founded back in 1989 and now has more than 300 members across North Carolina. If you'd like to join the Friends group yourself, we'll have information on how to do that later in this program. This program is all about books available from the State Library of North Carolina, Accessible Books and Library Services. The library has more than 86,000 titles in its collection. Books and magazines are available in large print, braille, and talking books as well. The library also has more than 11,000 patrons across the state. If you're not a patron but are interested in becoming one, I'll have more information at the end of this program. This month, we'll take a look at some of the most popular books checked out in the month of March at the State Library of North Carolina, Accessible Books and Library Services. We began the program this month with a book called Whispers. It's a new one by Lisa Jackson. Set in a small town on the Oregon coast, number one New York Times bestselling author Lisa Jackson's chilling novel explores a family's twisted legacy of lies and murder. Here's the plot. Even as a man as powerful as Dutch Holland can't keep a scandal buried forever. Well, that's why he summoned his children home to Oregon before announcing his run for governor. 16 years ago, his rival son, Harley Taggart, drowned in the murky waters of Lake Arrowhead. Dutch needs to know if his three daughters played a part before the press begins digging into the tragedy. But instead of helping with damage control, the Holland sisters' return is the catalyst for shocking new revelations. Claire Holland has never breathed a word about what happened that night, while Tessa was the wild child and Miranda smart and studious. Claire was romantic. She'd fallen in love with Harley, even became engaged to him. But complications abounded, including local bad boy Kane Moran. Now Claire learns that an investigative journalist is back in town, too, planning to write a book about Harley's death. Soon rumors swirl of betrayal and jealousy. Another body is unearthed, and a sadistic killer prepares to tie up every loose end at last. Once again, the book is called Whispers, and it's by the popular author Lisa Jackson. Now we have two more books that are brand new by the guy that we talk about every single month on this program. He always has something new and popular out, James Patterson, of course, and a couple of co-writers involved in each of these books. First, we're going to talk about The Texas Murders, and that one was co-written by James Patterson and Andrew Borrell. Now, this is a thrilling novel from this best-selling author. The Great Texas Rangers go on a holes-barred pursuit of the most dangerous killer ever to terrorize Texas. Texas Ranger Rory Yates protects his home state wearing a five-pointed silver badge and carrying a Sig Sauer. When a native woman disappears on the summer solstice, clues point to a cold case. Yates, a quick-draw champion, partners with expert archer Ava Cruz of the Tigua Tribal Police. The investigation leads to the edges of Texas's most unforgiving landscape, where the officers take dead aim with every shot in their arsenals. Once again, this is called simply The Texas Murders, and it's by James Patterson and Andrew Burrell. Now, another brand new book by Patterson as well is called Holmes is Missing, and this is one that he co-wrote with Brian Sitz. Both of these are on the top 10 list from this past month here in North Carolina. Best-selling author James Patterson populates his murder mystery novels with cold-blooded killers and smart detectives. In Holmes is Missing, P.I. Brendan Holmes has committed the perfect crime. He's made himself disappear. Here's the plot of this one. Success has come quickly to Holmes, Marple and Poe Investigations. The New York City agency, led by three detectives, Brendan Holmes, the brain, Margaret Marple, the eyes, and August Poe, the muscle, with famous names and mysterious pasts, is one major case away from cementing its professional reputation. But as a series of child abductions tests the PI's legendary skills, the cerebral Holmes' absence leaves a gaping hole in the agency roster. Only by closing ranks and solving the mystery within can they recover all that's been lost. Holmes is Missing. That's the name of this book, and it's not about Sherlock Holmes. It's about a brand new contemporary Holmes. And the book was written by James Patterson and Brian Sitz. Now let's turn to another good book that came out in the last couple of months here in 2025. This one is called The Angry Land, and it's by William W. Johnstone and J.A. Johnstone. When a cattle train bound for Texas is ambushed by bloodthirsty rustlers, legendary mountain man Smoke Jensen vows to get the cattle back, get the killers who stole them, and get revenge for the blood they spilled. Johnstone County, where outlaws shoot and legends shoot back. Here's the plot for this one. The completion of a new railroad line from Colorado to Texas is a dream come true for Smoke Jensen and the other ranchers of Big Rock. But this dream turns into their worst nightmare when the first herd they load onto the train is stolen by a vicious gang of kill-crazy rustlers. This is no ordinary train robbery. It's an inferno of slaughter that includes the friendly rancher who volunteered to take Smoke's place on the trip. Now Smoke is saddling up and riding out to get the prairie rats who murdered his friend. Smoke isn't the only one who's after these merciless killers. A pair of undercover lawmen from Texas have managed to infiltrate the gang by pretending to be dangerous outlaws. While Smoke is trying to track down the stolen herd, the undercover lawmen pretend to plot with the gang to rob more cattle trains. But there's a hitch in the lawman's plan. To make sure they're really on board, the gang wants them to prove their loyalty by eliminating the biggest threat, Smoke Jensen. Once again, the book is called The Angry Land, and it's by William W. Johnstone and J.A. Johnstone. And if you like Western thrillers, it sounds like a good one. Now let's turn to a book called Bellevue, and this is a novel by Robin Cook. Robin Cook is the best-selling author and master of the medical thriller, and this is a new tale of suspense horror about a first-year resident whose life-shattering visions revealed the truth behind some of the greatest medical advances in the history of medicine. Here's the plot. 23-year-old Michael Mitt Fuller starts his surgical residency with great anticipation at the nearly 300-year-old iconic Bellevue Hospital, following in the footsteps of four previous celebrated Fuller generations. The pressure is on for this newly minted doctor, and to his advantage, he's always had a secret sixth sense, a sensitivity to the non-physical. But quickly, one patient after another assigned to his care begins to die from mysterious causes. As he tries to juggle these inexplicable deaths with the demands of being a first-year resident, things rapidly spiral out of control. Visions begin to plague Mitt. Visions of a little girl in a blood-stained dress, blood-curdling screams in the distance, and worse. As bodies mount and Mitt's stress level rises, he finds himself drawn to the monumental, abandoned Bellevue Psychopathic Hospital building, which, to his astonishment, has somehow defied the wrecking ball and still stands a few doors north of the modern Bellevue Hospital high-rise. Forcing an unauthorized entry into this storied but foreboding structure, Mitt discovers he's more closely tied to the sins of the past than he ever thought possible. Once again, this is a book entitled Bellevue, and it's a novel by Robin Cook. Ray Palin is a very popular book reviewer that you hear quite often on this program. I read a lot of reviews by him. They're always very insightful. And this is one that he wrote just about a year ago about a book called The Spy Coast by Tess Gerritsen. Now, fans of Tess Gerritsen and her work must have been chomping at the bit for The Spy Coast, her first true foray into spy fiction. Now, she already has amassed millions of fans who love her diverse work, particularly the wildly popular Rizzoli and Isles series. Well, I'm happy to report, says the reviewer, that you now have a new favorite protagonist to root for. Here's the plot about this one, The Spy Coast. Maggie Bird is an ex-CIA operative who is simply looking to live out the rest of her days in the quiet and pastoral solitude of Purity, Maine, with her biggest decision each day being what time to feed her flock of prized chickens. Unfortunately for Maggie, the biggest fear that every retired spy has comes true, as it appears that her cover is blown and someone from her past has found her. Now, just 10 days prior to the events of this story, we read a passage set in Paris featuring a woman named Diana who seems to be in big trouble. A mission she was on has gone bad, and the fallout from it is still to be determined. Perhaps this is why Maggie's past has converged with her present. The excitement begins when Callie, the 14-year-old granddaughter of her neighbor Luther, informs Maggie that she overheard some stranger asking for her address at the post office. All Callie remembers is that she was a young woman. Immediately, Maggie's antennas are raised, and she wonders if this is a friend or a foe. Regardless of their allegiance, she just wants to be left alone. The stranger in question turns up at Maggie's place, and we learn that her name is Bianca. Now, her visit is a friendly one, as she wants to know if Maggie has any idea where Diana might be. Maggie indicates that she has not seen or heard from her in 16 years and is completely out of touch with that world. She also did not really care for Diana when they worked together and will not go to any great lengths to involve herself in Bianca's search. Well, not long after this encounter, Maggie gets a call from Luther while she is visiting with some friends for their monthly book club. She urges Maggie to come home as there are police cars all over her driveway. When she gets there, Maggie is met by Purity's acting police chief, Joe Thibodeau, who points out that there is a dead woman in her driveway, shot in the head. The victim is none other than the mysterious Bianca. Maggie asserts that she only met this woman earlier that morning and was not present at the presumed time of death. Joe buys that for the moment, but feels strongly that Maggie knows more than she is sharing. Maggie reports this startling development to her book club friends, all of whom are former spies trying to make a nice retirement in Purity. Well, now this unfortunate murder is used to spring the group to action, and the self-proclaimed Martini Club is back in the game, at least temporarily. Maggie needs to look into her own past to try to determine how she could be linked to any of this. This is all done via some terrific passages set decades prior, when a young Maggie claims to be working for a European import company. She proceeds to fall for a British doctor who may or may not have nefarious ties to some important and deadly people, including Russian spies who her team is working against. Well, this all propels the spy coast into some top-flight moments of suspense. Readers can just sit back and wait for the next danger or past revelation to drop into Maggie's lap. The question is whether or not she and her crew of fellow retirees still has what it takes to overcome these obstacles and walk away unscathed. I am thrilled that Gerritsen has decided to make this a series. She is so good at the spy game and has created characters who are immediately engaging and interesting. It sounds like a good mystery novel to me. It is a book review here done by Ray Palin. It was done in November of 2023. And in case you missed the title again, it's called The Spy Coast and is by Tess Gerritsen. Now here's another new book that has just hit the top 10 list for this month. The book is called Beautiful Ugly, and it's by Alice Feeney. Harlan Coben, a very popular author, calls this Alice Feeney's best book yet. The million-copy best-selling queen of twists, Alice Feeney, returns with a gripping and deliciously dark thriller about marriage and revenge. Here's the plot. Author Grady Green is having the worst, best day of his life. Grady calls his wife to share some exciting news as she is driving home. He hears Abby slam on the brakes, get out of the car, and then nothing. When he eventually finds her car by the cliff edge, the headlights are on, the driver door is open, her phone is still there, but his wife has disappeared. A year later, Grady is still overcome with grief and desperate to know what happened to Abby. He can't sleep, he can't write, so he travels to a tiny Scottish island to try to get his life back on track. Then he sees the impossible, a woman who looks exactly like his missing wife. Wives think their husbands will change, but they don't. Husbands think their wives won't change, but they do. Very mysterious sounding book here, I think. I think it would be a good one. It's called Beautiful Ugly, and it's by Alice Feeney. Now let's take a look at another very popular author. This one is a book entitled Now or Never, 31 on the Run by Janet Ivanovich. Now, Janet Ivanovich has written a staggering 45 New York Times bestsellers over the last 28 years. Now, in addition to her number one New York Times bestselling Stephanie Plum novels and many other books as well, she said yes to Morelli. she said yes to Ranger. Well, now Stephanie Plum has two fiancés and no idea what to do about it. But the way things are going, she might not live long enough to marry anyone. While Stephanie stalls for time, she buries herself in her work as a bounty hunter, tracking down an unusually varied assortment of fugitives from justice. Now, with timely assist from her stalwart supporters, Lula, Connie, and Grandma Mazer, Stephanie uses every trick in the book to reel in these men. But only she can decide what to do about the two men she actually loves. She can't hold Ranger and Morelli at bay for long, and she's keeping a secret from them that is the biggest bombshell of all. Now or never, it's called. She has to make a decision of a lifetime, and that she faces in the book Now or Never, 31 on the Run, and it is by the very popular author Janet Ivanovich. And speaking of popular authors, the book To Die For by David Baldacci has been on the top 10 list for a couple of months now. And here's the plot for this one. This is the 620 man who returns, this time sent to the Pacific Northwest to aid in a complicated FBI case. And he's about to come face to face with his nemesis, the girl on the train. Travis Devine has become a pro at accomplishing any mission he's given. But this time, it's not his skills that send him to Seattle to aid the FBI in escorting orphaned 12-year-old Betsy Odom to a meeting with her uncle, who's under federal investigation. Instead, he's hoping to lay low and keep off the radar of an enemy, the girl on the train. But as Devine gets to know Betsy, questions begin to arise around the death of her parents. Devine digs for answers, and what he finds points to a conspiracy bigger than he could have ever imagined. It might finally be time for Devine and the girl on the train to come face to face. Devine is going to find out the difference between his friends and his enemies, and in some cases, they might well be both. Once again, this book is called To Die For, and it's by the number one New York Times best-selling author, David Baldacci. Now let's take a look at a relatively new book. This one is entitled Aunt Ivy's Cottage, and it's by Kristen Harper. Here's the plot for this one. Up in the attic, with views across the sparkling bay, she opens the lid of the carved trunk. Now, carefully moving aside the delicate linen wedding dress once worn by her great aunt, she unpacks all the smaller boxes inside until she finds the leather-bound diary. Now, she knows this will change everything. All Zoe's happiest childhood memories are of her great-aunt Ivy's rickety cottage on Dune Island, being spoiled with cranberry ice cream, and watching the tides change from the rooftop. Now heartbroken from a recent breakup, Zoe can see her elderly aunt's spark is fading and decides to move to the island so that she can care for her and they can care for each other. When she arrives to find her cousin, Mark, sitting at the solid oak kitchen table, she knows why Aunt Ivy hasn't been herself. Because Mark, next in line to inherit the house, is pushing Ivy to move into a nursing home. Well, with the cousins clashing over what's best for Ivy, Zoe is surprised when the local carpenter who's working on Ivy's cottage takes her side. As he offers Zoe comfort, the two grow close. Together they make a discovery in the attic that links the family to the mysterious and reclusive local lighthouse keeper and throws doubt on Mark's claim. Now Zoe has a heartbreaking choice to make. The discovery could keep Ivy in the house she's loved for her whole life. But can Zoe trust that the carpenter really has Ivy's best interests at heart? And will dredging up an old secret destroy the peace and happiness of Ivy's final years and tear this family apart for good? Well, the only way to find out is to read or listen to this new book by Kristen Harper. It is called Aunt Ivy's Cottage. Now on this program, we've gone full circle. We've come right back to another book by James Patterson. It was on the top 10 list this month. And the book is called The House of Cross by James Patterson. Supreme Court candidates are being murdered, and only Alex Cross and John Sampson can take the case in The House of Cross. Alex Cross's innate nature is to protect people. If he has a weakness, it's his family, especially his children. They're the chink in his armor. But aside from that, it's tough to get at him. In Washington, D.C., the president-elect is planning her inauguration. The list of Supreme Court candidates is highly confidential until it becomes evidence in Detective Alex Cross's toughest investigation. One candidate is gunned down, a second is stabbed, a third is murdered near midnight on a city street. Cross is the FBI's top expert in criminal behavior. For the sake of his family, his city, and his country, he must put himself in the most dangerous place there is, right inside the mind of a diabolical killer. And once again, that one is called The House of Cross, the Great Alex Cross series by author James Patterson. And that is all the time we have for this month's edition of Heard Any Good Books Lately? I'm George Douglas. I hope you enjoyed the program today. If you'd like more information about how to become a patron of the State Library of North Carolina, accessible books and library services, simply Google or search for Accessible Books, North Carolina Library. Or you can call toll-free 888-388-2460. Once again, that number is 888-388-2460. Now, you can also use those same numbers and the website to join the Friends of the State Library of North Carolina, Accessible Books and Library Services. It is that wonderful organization that sponsors this monthly feature on books. And this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Heard Any Good Books Lately will be available right after the broadcast and our website, ncreadingservice.org. So long until next month.